Yeah, I'm Jackson. I have zero experience with carpentry.
I studied at a school for historic preservation in Boston and learned about how things were built, you know, 250 years ago.
There's a long way to go. I'm nowhere near the top. Not that I thought I was, but there's so much more to do out there.
Welcome back to the Passion for Craft podcast. We've kind of left two great cliffhangers here, and we're going to try to tie them together. We're making a lot of promises up front, and we ran a lot of checks that our podcast can't cash. We're going to try and get to this, to both of these issues. We've kind of left you hanging with this idea of beauty, and that there's a standard of beauty. Two episodes ago, last episode, we were talking about AI. We decided that, hey, there'd be pretty cool to play around with some AI stuff. So I think we're going to start by going the AI route, and then we're going to come to a close with the beauty aspect of this. And so whether or not there is truth in beauty or beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I'll moderate the debate. So come ready with your argument.
So
here's what we got. Austin set up. Let me just finish, and then you can get going on the AI stuff. But basically, Austin has DALL-E, which is ChatGPT's image generator, pulled up here. So in a little bit, we're gonna play around with some AI generated designs of architectural styles. There's one on the screen right now. A little bit of great coining. Just AI cleanup on the front end. One thing that AI is really good at is getting general ideas. One thing it's really bad at is the fingers of the equation. So like whenever an AI is making a human, it can never get the fingers right because it's like a small detail. Even though there's just five of them on a hand, it just never can figure that out. I think we're going to see the same thing in a lot of these details. If you look at the shutters, the shutters are where it starts to go wonky. And then when you look at, like the little, like these Corinthian, I think they're supposed to be Corinthian details at the top of some of these columns, the lines in the columns, just these little details are always going to be a problem. Just general AI stuff. That's always been a problem with AI, but, I think we're looking at,
which I suspect they'll solve. I mean, you know, so if a lot of good details, a lot of just kind of McMansion-y kind of gross things, a lot of misused.
Wait, were you going before this image came up? You were about to say something, or were you talking about this?
No,
image?
I was going to say. Okay, and so here's my problem with AI, and we were talking about a little bit ago with my book, and thinking about architectural authenticity and historical precedent. You know, I don't know what you typed in to get that house.
That is a federal style house.
A federal style house.
So that's not a federal style house. Okay. And so,
well, Dog said it is.
The fan light over the door is Victorian. It wouldn't have arches like that. It wouldn't have Corinthian. I don't know where that federal style house is, unless, you know, even in London, that wouldn't be a federal style house. And so it's a Palladian Georgian house, if it's anything. And so this is an example of it getting it wrong. Now, most people, 99% of people, 95% of people wouldn't know that that isn't federal. And so this is the thing that scares me about AI as an architect geek.
So true.
Is that it's just going to lie about stuff. And yep. it's like if you look at Pinterest right now and wanted to get good authentic details on Pinterest, you can't. They're not there. Mm. They're not loaded up. And so you end up, if you type in English paneled wall, like we did a Tudor panel wall, type in that. So do a Jacobin or Tudor English panel wall.
Whoa. You just said a lot of words mumbled. What? Jack O'Bannon?
Jack
O'Bannon. I'm trying to. Jacobin. He needs to type, Jack O'Bannon? He's got it. All right.
Jacobian.
Jacobian. Oh.
Jack O'Bannon.
Tudor and Jacobin. Okay. They're part of the same kind of eras. Jacobin follows Tudor.
Is it Jacobian or is it Jacobin? I don't know. I'm asking.
An English person said it's Jacobin.
Oh, okay.
And so I'd always said Jacobin, and then she goes, no, it's Jacobin.
Oh,
so
nice. Look at that.
So
Victorian.
Well, it's Gothic and, yeah, you know, yeah. It's kind of. So I guess the thing that scares me is that if design is beholden to AI to come up with these design ideas, they're just wrong. And so But I'm afraid of someone would go, well, it is wood. You know, it kind of looks English.
Dude, these are the boxes I'm checking right now. I'm like, well, they got the wood right. They got the English.
I don't know enough about that to know why that's so bad.
It's not that it's so bad. It's just not a Tudor Jacobean, paneled wall. Mm-hmm. It looks like a screen wall that would go in a Gothic church, right? And those details aren't great. I mean, you would never have those. The proportions aren't right, right?
So can you describe it really fast? So what would it normally be? So what are some key defining features?
Well, it would look like that wall right there. Okay. Which is the wall we've made based on historic precedent. And so,
can you describe that wall for Austin to type in to see if let's see if the system that we're playing with is even
capable.
Okay. So a wooden wall.
Okay. So
with panels in it.
It would be a Tudor English wall in oak paneled with carving in the architrave. Or carving in the frieze.
So, yeah, I would have said
I don't know how much detail I can.
I would have said a 3x5 panel structure. Like that's what I was. Okay, that's what
so
I meant
you can say that. So with panel sizes of roughly,
An 8-foot wall, that's what the detail I was thinking. I don't know. Maybe it's just too nitty gritty, but I think it'd be kind of interesting to see.
14x20. 14 inches wide, 20 inches tall.
Here, before we do that, here's what it spit out from what we had typed in before.
Can you type in with that exact same prompt, low amount of details or
simple?
Simple, yeah. I wonder if that, I wonder if that helps because I feel like part of it, it's when you're writing that English assignment and you're trying to get more words in just for the sake of getting words in.
Well, it's trying hard. It's just interesting because maybe AI at this point, just because it can't read your mind, it's just.
At this point, being the keywords.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, interesting.
That's simple.
So white oak, but it is less detailed, but it's just wrong. Okay, interesting. Maybe we don't need to do that other one. It's just helpful to see. What its thought process is. That's better.
Well, I mean, it's just making up details, right? I mean, that little example of the tulip or whatever that is, that flower motif, the second level of carving up. They're just inventing things. And so it's just...
So your fear is that some designers using this and then build this.
It ends up being looking like Disneyland. And mm-hmm. If somebody all of those walls look like they would be appropriate for a castle in Disneyland.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they're heavily ornamented, heavily detailed.
Mm-hmm. This is way more simple.
Way more simple. But that's following the historic precedent. And so,
did you get a good one?
I'm putting in, create an image of a house designed by Whole Homes, and then it says, describe features or elements, and I just copy and pasted your blurb from your website, and it's generating it right now.
Oh, wow, that's going to be interesting.
So, it's just...
It's not good.
Oh, my God.
Whole Homes!
So, that's based on the text in your website.
That looks like Moritz.
That's fascinating.
The backyard of Moritz.
So, guys, as an exercise, grab your text in your thing and see what AI, gives you. I wouldn't want to be associated with any of these houses.
I'd want to live in that house.
What? Oh, my gosh. I'm speechless.
I really like what you did with the driveway here or with this front lawn approach.
Sloping driveway?
Yeah, you had it go 45 degrees down and then 45 degrees up. Making a V, a real good rain trap.
Okay, so here's how we connect, the AI with beauty. We're talking about beauty and these absolutes of truth and beauty. So there's this idea in ancient writing that truth, goodness, and beauty were always absolutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so my comment a couple of things ago was.
You're talking, man. I thought I could just sneak a peek at my phone. I got five texts in a row, so I was like, "Yeah, this man be important."
The thing, a couple, is that, you know, those things are absolutes. We were talking about art, and it was like art beauty isn't absolute anymore. And we're getting into a tussle about whether, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder or not. And I bring that conversation up because we're looking at these, in my mind, cartoonish and ugly houses. And I wonder if can you write in a description that doesn't look like a cartoon? And see if it was more realistic representation.
I would say that isn't over the top or something like that, or do you want the actual the way that it's looking in the picture?
But here's where I'm going, and I think here's where I'm circling around this thing is that there is as a preservationist, okay, and as a historic geek, and as really appreciating the past, okay. AI takes the description in our website and says, this is what they do. And so it doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's not accurate.
It's not accurate to understand. And it's ugly.
Close.
It's close.
It's ugly. And so then I go, well, so there is a standard for beauty. If you look at a house, Jonathan Hale wrote a book called The Old Way of Seeing. It's an excellent book. It changed my world when I read it. I think I was at North Bennett Street or just right out of North Bennett Street. And it just blew my mind because what he was saying is that in historic houses, there were regulating lines that organized the composition of the house, and that the windows and the doors and all these other things would be connected by these lines that were geometric shapes, which was how buildings were historically built.
Mm-hmm.
And that he fast forwarded to houses in the 1930s showing that, these houses don't follow those things. You might glance at it and go, yeah, it's the same kind of thing, but it didn't have the same beauty, what I would say. And so, and then you see this kind of thing, and it's just like this collection of parts and pieces that is thrown together. That's a little better.
That was, I typed in a realistic image of a modest sized house designed by Whole Homes. That's where it came up.
That's pretty good.
It loves Victorian detailing. it's just really interesting to me because everything.
It has a bias to a Victorian.
Can you say not Victorian or like without Victorian detailing?
So the beauty thing.
Completely crap out.
Like Frank Lloyd Wright.
Okay.
I don't like any of his stuff.
Okay.
I think he's overrated and I never cared for any of it. But I know some people are like, oh, they're so nice. And I appreciate that he was doing his thing and like expressing himself. But I look at it and I'm like, I just don't care for it. You know?
So I agree with you. And I don't love Frank Lloyd Wright stuff. Okay. I look at what he did as a designer and how he pushed the envelope and how creative he was and how the attention to detail. And
I can appreciate that.
Right. Too. I can appreciate mm-hmm. that. I would say that the difference that isn't a question of beauty or not. Okay. That is a question of, style.
Is that AI Frank Lloyd Wright?
No.
Oh,
the Hollyhock House. I think.
That's crazy.
The,
how do we draw a line though? Cause I think there is some,
because here's where I draw the line. Music, I think, is the best example. Okay, is that a chord of a music, whatever it is, is organized. It's beautiful. It's harmonious. It's melodic. Okay, mm-hmm. when you take a certain chord, there's an organization there. There's a numerical, Fibonacci sequence type things that ties it together that you can look at and go, wow. If I start banging on my keys, okay, just banging on the piano or, farting, right? And saying that's music, right? Is the distinction I would draw. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that you don't have to like Mozart. You may like the Sex Pistols or whatever it is that is your musical taste. Okay. Is different from someone banging on piano, okay, with a hammer and saying that that's music.
Yeah.
And saying that's beautiful, okay? And so we can't, if we can't agree on, that's where there's between style, that isn't my taste or whatever thing else, doesn't mean it's not beautiful. There isn't beautiful attributes. It's in organized and put together.
I would even remove the word beautiful and just say correct. Because there are two notes that can be played together that exist in like a harmonious chord, but then there are other notes that cannot be played together. Like it does not fit a match.
Like a minor music, and a like, major.
Right.
Like together.
Where it doesn't fit, like you can't do that. And that's like against the rules of music in a lot of ways. And like even within jazz, which is like the type of music that breaks the rules of music, it still follows the rules of music with the way that it plays into each other.
And it's organized and it's, you know, it's
right. But I'm saying like if you play, you know.
But why are you interjecting correct there? Because
I think beauty is one that like kind of stops hard because it's like it feels so subjective because I think the culture has turned it into something that's subjective. But in music, given like the way that the two notes frequencies play into each other, like literally creates a harmony, like that there is a when the two notes that play into each other play together, they have harmony together. But then when the two notes that don't, they actually collide with each other and their frequencies get messed up and don't
disharmonic.
Like, right. So I'm saying correct versus non-correct because I think it still is beautiful. But the two that are disharmonic or whatever, they don't play together.
Well,
you know, and so you cannot play those two notes together. And so I think the same thing translates into architecture where it's like, you can't do some of these things. And it's like an incorrect way of doing architecture. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's getting too in the weeds.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Maybe that's the wrong way of looking at it.
If you hear like those two notes together, you're kind of like, like that, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But you're saying that happens in a lot of buildings.
I think it happens in buildings too. And like when two shapes go together, you're like, wait, why did they pick those two? Or like in the AI generated image by Hull, there was the double, look, it's got on the left-hand side there, the double gable, and you're like, wait, no, you shouldn't do that. That's like an incorrect thing.
So going back to my fear about AI is it doesn't know anything, right? It's not smart. It doesn't have taste, right? It's just, you know, grabbing and putting together. And if we're therefore reliant on a technology that's dumb, right? That technology that's, even though it's powerful, it's dumb. And so,
It is dumb. I don't think you can argue. It's like really stupid.
It is. And so it, right now, at least
it doesn't
have taste. And so, but I guess that is not going to stop people from using it. And that's not going to, you know, stop people from putting, you know, bad stuff out there that isn't beautiful, that doesn't contribute to our culture, that says ugly things about us. Yeah. And so,
I mean, even a better example of like things that are wrong, right? You've got two separately sized columns on the left-hand port cachet, whatever it is. You've got on the left, on that little outside porch, you've got like a super thin spaghetti string column. And then on the right, you've got a super thick one. And really, I know it's AI, and I know it's very easy to go, well, yeah, they got that wrong. But it's like, you would never do that on a house because it's not right. And so it's like, but that's an obvious example of something that is wrong. But then, you know, there are less obvious examples of what is wrong in McMansions, right? Where you see stuff, you're like, well, it's good on its own, I guess. But then together, you're like, wait, you shouldn't do that.
That McMansion Hell picture we looked at?
Yeah. The control V.
I would say that those are equally as, the control V one. Mm-hmm. I would say that's equally as ugly as this. You know, the lighting that they've done, the clouds, they prettied it up.
Yeah.
But this is equally as ugly as that.
Yeah, see, they've got the double triangle.
That's where they got that idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
The new Austin search history.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
All seeing. And boy,
I don't know why AI doesn't make that.
Why it doesn't make that?
Yeah.
I don't understand your question. What do you mean why does it not make that?
Like you probably give it the right cues to make it. It might.
I'm stumped in my head as I look at that and I go, that is something, you know, dumb.
Do you think anyone looks at that though and says it's beautiful?
Yes,
I do too. What? And that's what. And I they've got to be out there.
No, but I'm saying they're wrong.
Wait. You think someone's looks at that and says it's beautiful?
I can see that. Yeah,
the owner. 100%.
The owner probably drives.
No.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love how this house looks with the trees behind it. It's so beautiful. I'm sure.
But I think it's one of those things where, like, if it's the shadows on the wall, like the if all you've seen is the shadows on the wall, of course that's all you're gonna know.
And that's why I was saying, yeah, that beauty is subjective in a way.
Plato's The Cave. Well, but I don't think.
Wait. There's no way.
Someone does.
Okay. I guarantee you, okay, even the owner goes.
No.
Yes, I do. And no. And everybody that drives by that house goes.
No.
They know it's bad.
You're the wrong person to ask about
They
this.
Couldn't define why it's wrong.
You are the wrong person.
You are the absolute wrong person to know about this because of how much you know.
Yes, most people don't. I don't know about most, but a lot of people would be like.
Would be like what?
I think if I bought that house and my family came over, they'd be like, "Oh, it's beautiful."
Yeah.
They don't know what you know.
100%.
They would just say, "Oh, this big massive house,"
and okay. That's looking at the house. They're like the scenery.
Yep, they're looking at the landscaping. Yeah. They're looking at all the other this stuff. Is a but that it's contributes all the house to them. Yeah. Well, but also think about it like this.
It's just looking at it like.
But think about how much you've seen in your life.
Oh my! There's no way.
There is a way.
And that's why I'm telling you, like, beauty has. There is some subjective.
No.
Wait.
We're all three saying different things. This is good.
I'm telling you, I believe God made everything. I believe in creation. I believe He made all the animals. I think He did it perfect. But I think monkeys are so ugly. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, not everything is beautiful. I can't stand in judgment of God.
But you're comparing the monkey to a human, right?
Or to something else and say
that they're ugly. But, you know, the argument for why they're beautiful, okay, is their
in their proportions.
Well, I'm not even talking about, you know, just visually. I'm talking about in their structure, in their form, in their athletic ability, and in their, you know, the things they can do that are very human like. It's just there is a beauty there, okay? Even though
say that again.
Even though that they're not a real handsome.
That one's got a mohawk.
That's a good smile, though, I will say.
That is so funny you got that picture up there.
But don't you see what I'm saying? Like,
but
not
I don't,
everything
but
is
I don't,
beautiful.
I didn't say everything is beautiful.
No, okay.
I think there is a... But even what you're saying, okay, is a judgment, is a statement that there is a classification of beauty. I think the thing I was saying earlier is that there's people who said there's no such thing as beauty. And you're saying there is beauty, but that's ugly. But you're almost agreeing with me, is that there is a standard of beauty, and I would say that
so
the
on,
modernism
we're
modernism no we're not modernism is basically
a little bit.
Modernism is basically saying there is no such thing as beauty.
We're talking about two different things. Last time when we talked, we said that there's no standard beauty. We started defining that. This time we started by saying. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, okay? The two different things that I'm talking about is in modernism, people say what makes a thing beautiful is how it's perceived by people. And so the urinal is a beautiful work of art because of how it's perceived by people and how it's perceived. Yes, it is. That's what they're saying.
They're not saying it's beautiful. They're saying the conceptual idea of it is great.
Sure.
But no one's saying that urinal is beautiful.
No, some people are because they're saying, but they're saying it's a great work of art.
Yes.
So, but I'm saying that concept comes from people saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, saying that it's up to each individual person what they think is beautiful is up to them. It's the same thing as to
That's why I'm saying that he's agreeing with me.
I know, but you're talking on different schedules. Because he's saying that he's not saying there is or isn't a standard of beauty. You're saying there is or isn't a standard of beauty. He's saying, I find this beautiful, you find that beautiful, so there, beauty's that's in the eye of the beholder. I know.
Because I'm saying
y'all are saying different things.
I'm saying that 2 + 2 = 4. No one can argue with it. But the other thing I'm saying is people will argue about, like, I like that picture.
So,
you know,
you're agreeing that there is a standard of beauty.
I'm agreeing
2 + 2 = 4.
I'm agreeing there's absolute truth, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a perfect standard of beauty.
Okay. So there we go. Now we're talking on the same level.
Okay.
I think. Right? Now you understand what he's saying?
I always understood what he was saying. You didn't think I understood what he was saying, but I did understand what he was saying. The I'm not sitting there saying that there's a distinction, okay? That just because I find that monkey beautiful.
I mean, it literally looks like he's going like this.
Who, me?
Wow.
It just gets better and better.
So what are you saying?
Uncle Frank.
I don't know what you're saying, I think.
I agree.
I think there's a difference, okay, between saying I find something ugly, okay, and saying that there is no such thing as beauty, okay? And I would argue that modernists, okay, and relativists, okay, believe there is no such thing as beauty. And how dare you call something beautiful? What is that? What
all right,
is that?
Continue.
There's a difference, okay, between saying there's no such thing as beauty and saying that's beautiful and that's ugly.
Yes, I agree with the latter. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you picked a side right there, but I picked the
When I was making my point earlier, okay, I was talking about the fact that in a modern world, okay, there is no standard for truth or beauty, okay, and so you make your own truth. I spoke my truth. Remember, I was talking about that with the Harvard president. That I was talking about my truth, okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, everybody has their own truth and there's no such thing as truth because everybody has their own. The same thing with beauty, the same problem, okay?
But that's what I'm saying is, like, the modernists will say, because I find it beautiful, it is beautiful and you can't tell me different because there's no standard of beauty, right?
Yes.
And what I'm saying, I have to think about that. What I'm saying is that you and I are in agreement.
I agree.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
There is a standard for beauty that I don't think everything's beautiful, okay? Because I believe in beauty, evidently.
I can't look at that thing and not laugh.
You got to get that off the screen.
I think it's great.
It's no, just, it's fine.
Find another.
That is just too...
That's how you looked whenever we said that people would say that house is beautiful. You're like...
that is what I look like. Oh my God!
When Brent sees a McMansion,
just so funny.
I think it's beautiful that we're laughing at these guys.
My point was is that it's detrimental to us as a society when there is no standard of beauty. Okay, you and I believe in a standard of beauty,
mm-hmm.
and they the modernists would not believe that there is a standard of beauty. That's why they have fat models on the cover of Vogue magazine and then the fat swimsuit lady, because there is no standard of beauty. That's beautiful. And we're like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, yes, everything's beautiful.
That's what my point is. You just said my point.
Why didn't you say that in the first place?
I said, that's what you believe. And you said, no, it's not. And you just said, it. I'm like, I think it is.
Could someone say though that they like the fat model? Like, would that throw a wrench in our gears? If someone was actually like, yeah, I like the fat model.
Well, I suspect that there's always a disparate 1% that's gonna be like, you know.
But I also think
toes are sexy, right? Or whatever the thing is.
I still think there's this idea of like Plato's cave. Like, y'all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about that?
I don't.
Can you pull up Plato's cave? Because the picture is really helpful. But basically, the idea is someone's grown up in a cave their entire life. and all they know is shadows dancing on a wall. They can only look forward and they can see the shadows dancing on a wall. And then finally,
bottom left.
Yeah, bottom left, those guys. They're stuck inside the cave. And then, so that is what they understand the world to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get out of the cave. I don't remember the whole analogy, but what I'm saying is people understand that there is something beautiful inherently, like the model who's on the cover, like she is beautiful. But if you're looking at just her, there is a objectively more beautiful thing out there than just that, right? And so they're like, you're just looking at the, so when you're looking at a McMansion, and when we look at the Control V, Control C mansion, like that mansion is a beautiful mansion to some people who don't know the full context of what they're looking at.
I see that. So they're looking at silhouettes.
So they're looking at a silhouette of a mansion.
And then they go see the real thing.
But then they go see the real thing, and then they understand, oh, it's actually not
beautiful. There's a lot of people I feel that if they knew what the real thing was, they would not think that was
100%. But that's what I look at as our goal, is like people do understand that there is something inherently beautiful about that house. Like it's not the crumpled piece of paper art museum that we've talked about before. But it is like, it's a structured house. It has four walls. It has like some stuff. But then
okay.
So you see what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is that the person that looks at that house
doesn't have a full understanding.
And they're looking at shadows on the wall. They haven't seen the real thing. Therefore, they're just like, yeah, it's a house.
Yeah. Because they're seeing beautiful things. They're seeing beautiful aspects about the house. But if they saw them put together in a proper context, they'd be like, oh, that's way more beautiful. I think you've seen too many beautiful houses to where you're like going in and seeing these shadows.
I don't think that they're saying that house is beautiful. Uh-huh. I think they're probably saying that house is big. I think they're probably saying that house says massive, is impressive.
I think two things can be true at once, I don't think
they're sitting there going, that is the most beautiful thing.
But I think both can be true.
Because we're using beauty as this thing, and I would say beauty is separate from impressive.
That's so true. But that was my point of saying, like, I think we can define like those notes as correct within the context of music versus beautiful. Because then music is such a great example, because you can play two notes together and it's wrong, and there's like a definitive, like, this is not how you play music. But then you can play a bunch of notes together in a bunch of different ways, and you can get metal music, or you can get a ballad, or you can get country, or whatever. Yeah. And both of those are still right, but there's different tastes within that. And I think that's kind of part of like what we have as well in architecture. Like where...
So, did we solve the beauty thing? Are we on the same page there?
I think so.
So back to AI, right?
Really? I think this is more interesting than AI. Go ahead.
Well, how do you want to round it out? What I mean, we're all on the same page. What's your point?
Well, I don't know if everyone's going to be on the same page.
I think it's so nuanced, and there's like also a thing of semantics that we're playing that it's hard to nail it down. But I think we all agree.
Yeah. I think
I agree that there is a, and this is where I would say it's a taste thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That... the first time you go to an art museum, okay, you might look at it and go, what is, I could do that. And you don't understand the context of what's going on. You don't understand, the full spectrum.
Right.
You have to study art to understand that when, so-and-so drew this, he was really referring back to this painting that was done, and he did a twist on it. And so that's why he was doing it. There's context, right? And so there's education that takes place. I told you before about the story of the architect who got fired three times. And as the customer grew in taste and understood and began to appreciate what was going on. So I agree that there is, and that's what why I do my Wednesday videos. That's why most of my channel's about is educating people on, the proper way to put a column in a beam, right? That just people don't know stuff that they should know. So I agree with that. Right. And so I think that's a beauty.
The
beauty
proper
issue.
Way of putting a house together. Like there, cause I think there's a difference between, that's why I was trying to move away from the word beauty, because I think it's so subjective, or like it gets taken in such a subjective way where like within architecture, there is a correct way of assembling a house. And that house, the McMansion we looked at, was not assembled correctly. Correct? Like, am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean,
that's the last thing I wanted to nail down before we closed out. And I feel like that's, I feel like it's an attainable thing to nail down. I don't feel like it's, we're talking crazy different.
Because you're saying, like I was saying, there's an absolute truth to 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
There's an absolute truth to how that house should have been built.
And a lot of that comes down to what the Greeks and the Romans figured out, which came into play with Fibonacci's sequence and how the proportions of things play into something else. And when those proportions play properly into each other, it's beautiful. In the same way, you can take people's faces and proportion them and find like beauty. People are more considered beautiful when their face more aligns with the Fibonacci sequence than mm-hmm. not. So I guess that's where I'm coming from, where there's like, beauty is a hard word to say, but I guess if we're talking about beauty as if it's closer to correct proportions with one another, then it's like,
I mean,
great.
I'm pushing back, but it's a small point. So
what is a pushback?
No, it's not. Okay. It's a small, silly.
But you see what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Do you feel like that's a fair assertion on some of this stuff? Because then if we just go to taste, taste is the different animal that we're trying to like move away from.
I think
right?
we're trying to nuance a house built in 1980 versus a house built in 1940. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, that is such a nuanced thing that, but when you consider what the Greeks and Romans were building, and the proportions of the temples and things like that compared to, you know, a strip mall,
yeah, sure,
or a mansion, then you see a clear difference in culture and taste and, you know, ability and knowledge and everything else.
But I think it's less about taste, because if you take the two side by side, every single person's going to go, that one's more beautiful about a properly proportioned home if you have the two side by side.
All I'm saying.
Same style, same everything.
Okay. I hear you. I'm trying to, when you say that's correct, that's not correct, I'm like, because you don't know enough.
That's true. So true.
To say that. And to, so I'm like, correct. So that's, you asked me what I was nuancing about.
That's where you're hung up.
It's just like, that's not completely accurate what you're saying, but I'm going to let it go, because really what I'm talking about is the difference between, you know, not that house necessarily that I think is ugly, but you know, the difference of what we're building as a culture, the strip malls, that house, mm-hmm. you know, and what it says about us as a culture, because this whole thing started when we were talking about,
the Harvard professor's truth.
No, it was before that, but
it was before that.
We were talking about how, what we're going to be looked at as a culture and how we're going to be defined as a culture.
And so it's just, you know, it was the
mentality of shifting from the smaller houses, the more simple was what got us on this train.
Anyway, I think we all agree.
Yeah, I do too.
And we can move on from this thing, but because it's not something we can wrap up in 20 minutes and go, yeah, there's beauty. You know, we got to figure it out, because it's so deep. And it's mm-hmm. it's culture and it's knowledge and it's taste and it's understanding, it's math, it's all, it's musical, it's harmonious. It's like so complex. So that's why I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just like, there's so much here.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. That's why I was trying to boil it down to correct versus not correct. And then taste comes as a different preference. Cause I think what you were talking about originally is you were like, you think that style is good.
I'm not sure I'd agree with that, but that anyway.
That's fine. We can talk about it. We're on this podcast where we share thoughts.
I know, but I think we're beating a dead horse. And so
I really don't think we are, if there's a different thing, but that's fine. So that is the beauty conversation. If we feel like we need to go into it more, we can.
No,
but
because it is a, someone, I need to go dig into some books, dig into some stuff.
And read all 30,000 comments on this.
And you know, yeah.
Is there anyone who thinks that monkeys are beautiful, though? Because that would really decide it.
Yeah, pull up a capuchin monkey. They're just adorable.
You mean the baboon? Anybody think the baboon is beautiful?
Yeah, they're just ugly things.
Well, they're more, they're like, perfect. Look at that guy. Come on.
That actually looks okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That looks cute. Like a little Pokemon or something.
Yeah, lemurs too. Lemurs are cute. Howler monkeys. There's some good.
That's why I like using that example, because it's like, you know?
I feel like even baboons are the more like Roman style. Like if we're talking architecture where it's like a more manly thing. It's like it's a more stoic. Like if you look at a baboon's face, it's like really stoic. It's like the Easter Island heads. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, see? It's like really long. It's stoic. It's
bam, baboon.
I don't know.
Wow.
What?
Is the monkey correct or incorrect? Because I'm looking
at... I think it's correct.
I'm looking at something that's correct that I think is not attractive.
Right, and that's taste. That's what I was getting at. It was like...
Okay. I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that?
No.
Do you want to provide what you think or do you just want to keep it a secret?
I've got to dig into it.
Okay, all right. Keep it a secret. Go ahead, keep your secrets.
You are talking about something I don't think you know enough about. Fair. And so I...
What about me? Me too?
Well... Technically, we all are, but I'm holding,
I get to be wrong. I'm holding on to that
thing that you're saying is taste. I don't agree with that. So
great.
But anyway, I've got to go collect my thoughts on it.
Right.
It's a deep topic.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear more about it when you've collected your thoughts. Thank you guys for watching. If you disagree, let us know. If you agree, keep your secrets. But we would love to hear more from you guys next time when we're going to be talking about a different topic from AI and beauty altogether. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
That was a short one, wasn't it?
Like 40 minutes.
Okay.
That's good.
That's why I kept trying to get you to just say
it. No, you can't sum it up like that.
This would have been great.
You can't do that. You can't sum it up like that.
Great. Explain why, or explain like what your problem with it is, or explain like, because then that's interesting, right? There's interest to that. Because I'm great with being wrong.
You can intellectually have truth, but you can't visually have absolute truth. Do you know what I'm saying? Like intellectually, 2 + 2 = 4. But I may look at something that I think is made perfectly by a creator, and I still don't like it visually.
I still think it's all comparative. Like I think what you're doing in your head is you're comparing it to other stuff because that's what we do with things that are pretty. And I think you're going like, well, I know, but I think you're looking at like a deer or something that's like a more beautiful animal, more elegant animal. And you're like, well, that's prettier than that. But like, you know, for example, gorilla is like really stoic.
But I think God made stuff to be ugly looking intentionally because it's an ugly thing. Like when there's a dead animal and there's like maggots and flies, I don't think God was like, this is beautiful.
But that's all a result of the fall. That's not a result of God's creation.
But
that's
a warping. But don't go there. I mean, you're right. That's ugly.
Yeah.
Right?
There's like ugly things that are made intentionally you know,
well, I mean, then you go back into the whole tragedy thing, right? Why do we have to read tragedies? And it's like, well, how do you know happiness until you really know sadness? And so it's just like,
and that's the comparative side that I'm talking about. Why are you scoffing at that? That's true. What you just said, exactly what my point is.
I think you can look at maggots on a dead. Sorry, we're about to eat lunch, but I just know it's disgusting. But you don't need to compare it to anything. It's just like repulsive. And you were created to be repulsed by it, like to keep you safe. You know what I'm saying? Inherently, like you're going to reject that. No one's going to be like, unless you're some kind of reprobate psychopath, you know, you're not going to be attracted to that any way, shape or form. There we go. I just went too deep. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, There's a lot of books written about taste, and I was stopping because you said none of that's taste, and that's true.
It doesn't matter what I'm calling it. If someone else is calling taste something different, it's all about how you define that word. Like we're just defining in this context.
All of these cultures define taste and beauty and truth differently.
Yeah.
And so it's like such a deep.
Does my intellectual versus visual thing make any sense, or am I crazy with that? Like, there is absolute truth intellectually, but maybe not visually. Like, the intellectual absolute truth has to be real.
I disagree with that because I think you can visually see what is beautiful by the way it's proportioned. And it's like very easy to conceptualize, like, nope, that one is more beautiful than this one, but it all comes down to comparison. Cause you could look at one thing and go, well, that's beautiful. But then you see something else that is more correctly proportioned. You're like, oh, that one's more beautiful than that one. But it's still, it comes back to what the standard for beauty is, which is that,
which is individual a lot of times.
But the intellectual truth of it is that it comes back down to how it's proportioned.
I think you're saying the same thing.
I think we are.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just semantics.
Cool.
And I think I think when you say intellectually 2 + 3 = 4, and then you say visually, I find that this is beauty, and that's beautiful, and that's ugly. You're saying the same thing.
Okay.
I think that you're agreeing that there is a standard and an absolute for beauty. When you declare something ugly, you're saying that there is a standard for beauty.
Well, I guess I'm saying no one can argue with the 2 + 2 = 4. Whereas, like, someone could argue, I do like the.
But the people that are going to argue for a standard of beauty doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree the baboon's ugly. The standard of beauty means that there is something beautiful in the world versus something ugly. And that by saying that, you're saying 2 + 2 = 4. Whereas modernists would say there is no standard for beauty.
So I think it is taste then.
It's not taste.
Because my taste is that I don't like the baboon. Someone else does. Who's right? There's no absolute truth there.
Taste is not judgment. Okay. Taste is not.
Well, call it what you want. We're talking about judgment.
Okay. That's different from taste.
Then that's what we're talking about.
I don't know what taste is then.
Taste is scalable, okay? Taste is, developed over time. Taste is a refinement, okay? Taste is educated, okay? Taste is,
Okay, taste is like they say, it's an acquired taste.
Exactly.
It doesn't. It's not.
How do you acquire the taste? Only over time. Only over.
So you work on it.
Yeah. That you have to
curate.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Taste on a fine wine, a sommelier, the guys who know about wines. They taste thousands of wines and just wine all the time. Literally 6 wines a night in order to take their tests and do their stuff to develop a taste. And so. Right. So it's just and that's only a piece of it. Right.
Yeah.
That's only a piece of it.
Yeah. And taste defined like that. I don't agree. That's what we're talking about. I think it is more of like a knee jerk reaction.
So the taste that just going back to the cave example, because I think it's like a really black and white example. The taste of the person who's in the cave would be less refined than the taste of the person who's outside of the cave. But it's all based on comparison and experience. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my point with saying taste in the first place.
It's closer to that. Yeah.
Okay.
See, so you've been redeemed, but it's not on.
Yeah, I know. We're still rolling? Oh, right on. Okay, cool. So I was right.
Oh my gosh. Do you understand why I was like, no, you can't say it that way.
I don't understand why you weren't willing to just say that. That's what
I had to think about it. I had to think about it. I was sitting there going, no, that's not right.
Or
that's
just
not
talk
the right,
it out. Or
that's
just
not
talk
the right statement.
Which is fine. Like, you're like, you can't say it because it's wrong. And I'm like, I don't care. I can be wrong. I'm like, if I'm wrong, I'd love to learn why I'm wrong. You know what I mean?
And I had to sit there and go, wait a minute. Why is that not right?
Yeah. Damn. Which makes sense.
Should we do another outro?
No, we're done.
Hard cut.